the album was really a catharsis of human emotions, if you like. And never at any one point that I can remember was ever discussed by any one person that they wanted out or they couldn't handle it. When the rain washes.
I mean, Go Your Own Way, The Chain, Dreams, they were all Never Going Back Again, Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow, Secondhand News, I Don't Want to Know, you know, Goldest Woman, they were all about trying to make it through that particular period of time.
Hello, this is Mick Fleetwood from Fleetwood Mac.
Hi, this is Stevie Nicks in the studio with Fleetwood Mac's Rumors.
Hi, this is Lindsey Buckingham in the studio for the 5th anniversary of Fleetwood Mac's Rumors.
With the addition of unknown California duo Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks for their 1975 White Album, veteran British blues rockers Fleetwood Mac totally transformed their sound and their appeal, which resulted in two hit singles and album sales in excess of 4 million, unheard of at the time. When it came time to follow that up, regardless of this sudden success that this new quintet lineup of Fleetwood Mac had found, both musically and commercially, things really couldn't have been more difficult privately inside the band. Here's Fleetwood Mac singer-songwriter Stevie Nicks.
Lindsey and I were breaking up as we joined Fleetwood Mac, and Chris and John were pretty much on the rocks too. So we just patched everything up because we knew that there was no possible way that this band could make it through that kind of trauma. So we, both Chris and I, said, well, we will just make these relationships work for another year or two if necessary, because we're not any of us going to give up Fleetwood Mac, not at this point. I mean, it got down to that. It got down to, we have this incredible band. Now, the fact is we have two relationships that are falling apart. Are we, all five of us, adult people, going to give up? But this is like going through the first year. Are we going to give this up because of these relationships? I mean, I can remember flat out saying, I'm not leaving. And Lindsey, you're just going to have to deal with me. And Christine pretty much said the same thing to John. So if you guys want to break up the band, go ahead. But we're not going to be the ones.
Don't you lay me down in the door.
1977's Rumors album by Fleetwood Mac, That's Secondhand News, written by singer-guitarist Lindsey Buckingham.
Tell me about writing Secondhand News.
Well, I guess you could say that you know, you can look at that as the mate to Monday Morning. Monday Morning is sort of a precursor. You know, nothing particularly definitive has happened between Stevie and myself, only the sense of things not being quite right. You cut to 2 years later, and all sorts of things have happened. Stevie has moved away from me emotionally. She's been unfaithful. She's come back. She's gone through a whole evolution of experiences unique to herself that have nothing to do with me during the touring that happened with Fleetwood Mac after the first album. You know, so you're talking about a long period of time of sort of a slow death, of estrangement, of a lot of... You know, we were not really a couple by the time that song was written. There was still a lot of love, and that we would sort of come back and go away and come back. But basically, you know, you're talking about a situation during the making of Rumors, which was very painful for me, working with someone that I was still in love with, who was didn't want to be with me, and yet me having to do the work for her, having to produce hits for her, having to see her every day, not being allowed the necessity, I won't say the luxury, it is a necessity of physical distance in order to get closure. The compartmentalizing of emotions that had to follow in that situation. And so Secondhand News, you know, you're looking at it in sort of retrospect, you know, I know there's nothing to say anymore. You know, maybe during Monday Morning we were still, it was something that might have happened but hadn't happened. So there's nothing to say. She's obviously been with someone else, has taken my place now. I mean, the funny thing about that song is it's painful, but it's also a little bit humorous. I'm trying to keep my sense of humor. If times go bad, you can always come back and you know, for you know what. So so there's a little
guys,
bit of a...
Guys are such dogs.
I know. We're just a bunch of animals, aren't we? So anyway, I think there was a kind of a tongue-in-cheekness about it. Maybe I was at least able to throw some humor into something that really wasn't very much fun at all.
Tell me about composing Never Going Back Again. Was it cathartic on some level for you?
Well, it was... At the time, it was, but it was also very naive, wasn't it? You know, I think I'd been through some bad experiences, and you know, you sort of tell yourself you're never gonna that you've been through that now, and it's never gonna happen again. So it's
until
like,
the next time.
Yeah, exactly. You don't, you know. I think there's always that illusion. Whenever you're happy, you think you're never gonna be unhappy again, and of course, that's not the way life works. But at the time when you're applying it specifically to a hurtful situation with someone, and you've come out the other side, and maybe you feel like you've worked your way through it a little bit, at least the week that song was written, I was thinking, you know, hey, everything's cool now.
Never going back again.
Yeah.
This week.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. So it was a sweet sentiment. It was a pure sentiment of some sort of small catharsis, but it was also very naive, I think, really, when you think about it. Well, she broke down and let me in. Where I've been. I've been down one time, I've been down two times. I'm never going back again. see me again.
Lindsey Buckingham, Never Going Back Again, performed live in the studio on my Dallas radio show in 1992. Stevie Nicks recalls trying to be creative amidst two couples estranged from one another, yet forced to communicate through songs.
That's probably why the record took 12 months, was because we were breaking up and making Rumors. And still having to sit in a studio every day together, the five of us, alone, with this tension, with this incredible tension of, you know, anything that anybody said could be taken wrong. I mean, anything that you said, even the slightest bit sarcastically, was like, oh, well, you know, thanks a lot. I mean, you know, you could really be a little nicer to me about that. And it's like, you didn't even mean to say anything, you know. But it's like everybody was on such a sensitive level that nobody could say anything to anybody. So it was like that was really hard. But again, it was, to all of us, the idea of giving up, especially, you know, in the midst of Rumors, realizing that this was going to be a great album. We had already achieved a certain amount of success and fame. We had established ourselves as a fairly high-class, traditional rock and roll band, and not one of the five members wanted to give that up.
Co-founding drummer Mick Fleetwood confirms that founding bass player John McVie and wife, singer-pianist-songwriter Christine McVie, were splitting up also.
It was all at the same time. The proverbial you-know-what hit the fan. More or less at the same time. I think John and Chris and, you know, obviously have been in the band for quite some time, and it was apparent that it was not easy to be man and wife and room together on the road and not having to breathe and live and eat. And I mean, it's a lot to ask out of any relationship. I would say it'd be the kiss of death on any relationship that I was involved in if I had to be jammed up day and night with someone. It's very hard to do, I think.
Yeah.
find out just how close Fleetwood Mac came to never ever finishing the Rumors album, one which Rolling Stone magazine ranks at number 25 on its 500 greatest albums of all time. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with Lindsey Buckingham, Stevie Nicks, and Mick Fleetwood. In the studio, Fleetwood Mac's Rumors.
Welcome back to In the Studio with Fleetwood Mac. I'm Stevie Nicks with Redbeard.
Hello, this is Mick Fleetwood from Fleetwood Mac.
Hi, this is Lindsey Buckingham in the studio for the anniversary of Fleetwood Mac's Rumors.
Thank you all. I'm Redbeard in the studio. With all three main songwriters and singers falling out of marriage and love affair simultaneously, any reasonable person has to wonder why Fleetwood Mac didn't break up, either officially or just become creatively dysfunctional. Here's drummer Mick Fleetwood in the studio.
It was never discussed of no matter how grim it got and unhappy, which it was for a while there. There was no hate and loathe. It was just the unhappiness that happens when people break up and one person doesn't want to have it happen and it's not mutual and all that stuff. They lived through it. And that was how we made the album. Was really a catharsis of human emotions, if you like. And at never at any one point that I can remember was it ever discussed by any one person that they wanted out or they couldn't handle it. You know, it was just through that, I think, that we all became, in a really sort of twisted way, I suppose, very, very close as adult people, if you like, handling a situation. And I have to say that I don't think it would have been possible if there was a real deep-rooted malice of how things can go. And I think that's why we survived. It was just understood that things were not happy, no, but we have a lot to be grateful and pleased about, which was Fleetwood Mac, if you like.
Loving you isn't the right thing to do. How can I ever change things that I feel? If I could, maybe I'd give you my world. How can I, when you won't take it from me? You can go your own way. Go your own way. You can call it another.
the composer of Fleetwood Mac's Go Your Own Way from the Rumours album, Lindsey Buckingham.
And I think there's also the kind of the comment that you can go your own way. You can always find somebody new, but, you know, you're still you, and certain things are going to be the same no matter what. And I think we all found that to be true, you know, years later. Maybe certain things that you took for granted, again, sometimes you don't know what you got till you lose it, kind of idea. So I don't know. So many things about those days in Fleetwood Mac that you could psychoanalyze. You know, that was part of the appeal, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. I'm not trying. I'm talking about the music.
Sure.
Like I said, and it's a very positive song.
It is. Sure.
It makes you feel good. It for a leaving song. I mean, when that song comes on the radio or when people play it, it's not a downer. It's an upper.
No, it's about resolve and the strength that must come, if not in the moment, then soon after, you know.
Yeah, so, it's a cross. It's very affirmative.
The lift of it is very much of an anthem, and I think that, you know, I'm a rock and roller. So, you know, on some level, you can take something which might be a scream and just make it much more musical than that, and I think that's what that is. I remember, too, about that song that Mick told me that, you know, Peter Green said he wasn't really sure about me as a guitarist until he heard the solo at the end of Go Your Own Way. So that was pretty funny.
Fleetwood Mac singer, songwriter Stevie Nicks.
I know this sounds really silly. People probably won't believe it. But again, I wrote Dreams in about 15 minutes. And I went right in and played it for Fleetwood Mac when I finished it. And we recorded it a couple days later. And I was sick. I had a cold. And we have pictures of me sitting up on one of Lindsey's Marshall amps with my little Vicks nose inhaler, you know, and my Vicks mentholatum rub, right? And all like a serious thing of cold remedies, right? Sitting next to me, wrapped kind of in a blanket, sitting cross-legged up on top of an amplifier with a microphone. And that is the vocal that you now listen to.
What you love, what you have.
put something at the end that says there's hope. You know, when the rain washes you clean, you'll know. And that's an old Indian custom that if it rains, something like that, when somebody dies, if it rains, that their spirit is set free.
As the months dragged on into a full year with nothing but rumors of breakups leaking out of the closed-door recording sessions for the next Fleetwood Mac album, the band's record company was twisting in the wind, according to Mick Fleetwood.
I think it's fair to say that there was probably a point when Warner Brothers thought that their cherished new property might never actually get off the ground again. From a distance, I'll be respectful of the fact that they were respectful. They kept their distance, but I know that they were nervous. You know, they were thinking, oh my God, when are we going to get the message that the whole project has completely collapsed and end of album? And people, quite frankly, that were close to the band couldn't for the life of them understand how on earth we were still functioning.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we'll discuss the inevitable Rumors Hangover. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with Lindsey Buckingham, Stevie Nicks, and Mick Fleetwood. Fleetwood Mac's Rumors.
Welcome back to In the Studio with Fleetwood Mac. I'm Stevie Nicks with Redbeard.
Hello, this is Mick Fleetwood from Fleetwood Mac.
Hi, this is Lindsey Buckingham in the studio for the anniversary of Fleetwood Mac's Rumors.
Once again, thank you all. I'm Redbeard. The marvel of Rumors is not that it just got completed under extreme circumstances. It's that after 40 years, I can sit down with the two-disc remastered edition and be amazed, amused, thrilled, chilled, and rocked. The songwriting, the musicianship, the arrangements, and the production are simply all A+. But Stevie Nicks thinks that Rumors' appeal went beyond the ears and made a connection in people's hearts.
Think about how many other people were going through exactly what we were on their own. So all of these songs were terribly relatable to the masses because everybody in the world was either going into a relationship, coming out of one, thinking about coming out of one, hanging on for dear life, married and trying to figure out what to do with the children and if they should get divorced, or, you know, I mean, everybody in the world was going through that and still is. That's timeless, you know. Love affairs are timeless. I mean, they don't change. That's why these songs are timeless, I think. And that's why they're timeless to me. And that's why I can walk out on the stage today and still sing them as opposed to, and still feel the same way as when I wrote them, is because I can remember so how I felt at that point. And I can remember the tears, and I can remember how hard it was for me to play Dreams the first time for the whole band. Because I knew that it would probably really upset Lindsey, and probably really upset Chris and John, and probably really upset Mick, and really upset me. And if I could even get through it, I'd be lucky. So there was a lot of compassion going along with this whole thing, too, because we had to write the truth and write it in song and then go out there to the other four people and sing it without, you know, somebody getting up and walking out of the room. Maybe that's why it was so popular, was because it was so difficult to do. And we all worked so hard to not break the chain.
Don't love tonight.
Fleetwood Mac's The Chain from the 1977 Rumours album. As mature and civilized as they'd have us believe they always behaved toward each other, intuition tells you that it must have been dicey at times, particularly when it came to tour once again. Here's Mick Fleetwood.
There was one or two little sticky incidents that happened on the stage. I remember one time Lindsay had had the one or two scotches, and Stevie was dancing away during one of his guitar solos, and he must have thought, "I'm going to put an end to this." He goes and gives her a good sharp kick on the shins. That was a classic one. So there were odd things like that, which I think probably for the most part went completely unnoticed. If not a little bit sticky on stage, you go, "Oops, what's happening here? Let's just keep playing." Nothing happened. No one saw that.
And it was the tour after Rumours when Stevie Nicks had her biggest closure on her breakup with Lindsey Buckingham.
And that's when I learned to not stay mad. I used to be one of those little girls who I could stay mad for days if she did something. I could pout, absolutely. My mother would say, "She's pouting. Don't even bother." And I learned that if I stayed mad, if Lindsey did something to me that made me really angry on Thursday night, and we had a show on Friday, and we got on the airplane on Friday morning, and I was still mad at him. Mind you, this is after we had broken up, that it was going to come out on stage that night, and that was not honorable or fair to the audience. And if that's what I was going to do, then in that case, we should finish the band. We should stop it. If we were going to go up there and fight out dying love affairs on stage in front of 25,000 people, then we should just get out of the business or separate and go our separate ways. Because that's not the reason, to me, that music exists. Music is to make people happy. And if kids can scrape together and drive 100 miles to come and see us, that I was not going to go out there and have a fight with Lindsey on stage. And that Christine and John were the same way, that we were not going to take our personal problems out on stage.
We'll be right back.
Fleetwood Mac would continue on with this lineup through 1987's Tango in the Night, which is set for an expanded reissue of its own soon.
And everybody felt sorry for everybody. I felt terribly sorry for Chris and John. I hated to see their marriage end. But I knew it wasn't going to work, and I knew it had to end. I knew that Lindsay's and my relationship wasn't going to work, and that it had to end. And once you come to that conclusion, and I think everybody will agree that the first time it enters your mind that this relationship is over, you're done. It's the beginning of the end. Because that doesn't come into your mind until it's starting. Something has gone so wrong, and then it just decays from there. And so it's really better to break up as quick as possible than to drag it out. We had to drag it out over 2 years. And that was, you know, that amazes me to this day that we got through it. And what got us through it was the fact that, yeah, we all had a dream.
Fleetwood Mac's Rumours is now the seventh highest-selling original album in history, at 28 million verifiable copies. Global estimates are more like 40 million. I'm Redbeard. We'll be back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking my guests, Lindsey Buckingham, Stevie Nicks, and Mick Fleetwood. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly, Red Beard, for Bearded Fish Productions. Copyright 2017, all rights reserved. Transcription by Jane Carpenter Brunet. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net.